Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 28, if you could. Matthew 28 this evening. And during prayer time, if you have a testimony about how the Lord worked in your heart during this week, feel free to share it and give some praises tonight. So I'll just warn you, I'm not at 100% this evening. For some reason, my blood pressure is pretty high before church. So I took some extra medicine. I'm feeling better now. But just pray for me. If I'm not making much sense, that's why, okay? But Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 tonight. And in tune with what we're going to be looking at here, give you a little bit of preview. When I get back from my trip, we're going to be doing How to Disciple Someone. And this is going to be one of those ground-laying messages and give us some reminders. And by the way, what we're hearing tonight, we know. But how do we act it out? How do we practically do it? And ask ourselves some questions. How can I grow in this area? And when we're looking at being rooted and built up in Christ this year, and how do we help others do that? One of the ways is bring them to church. Amen. So glad so many came during the revival time that we had with Brother Brown and many young people coming back with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Keep coming. Keep coming. The Lord will help you grow. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for those that take time and effort. I know it takes a lot of time. Thank you, Scott and Carrie, Sarah and Isaiah. It takes time to get these kids here and get them home. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Keep doing it. So Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, makes your pastor proud. Amen. It does. And also just encourages everybody. And by the way, who else can you bring to church? Amen. So let's get more people coming. Praise God. So if we could stand together, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And instruction of Jesus. There are times that we're burdened down, that we have trials, that we have tribulations, that we have things that we're carrying around and things that weigh us down, things that discourage us. What are we going to do with them? Jesus has a command for us beginning in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and here it is, and learn of me. It means we need to learn something. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Dearly Father, I pray your blessing tonight on the message. And Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and give me strength to preach tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that our hearts would be ready. Oh Lord, that we would want to put our burdens upon you, to learn of you, Lord, to take that yoke upon us, and Lord, that we want to serve others. I pray your special blessing tonight. Pray that you would be with us and that your word would help us grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Helping bear the load. Helping bear the load. We can't get through our lives as a Christian without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we try to, what's going to happen is we're going to take load upon load upon load, and we're going to take it, and we're going to go a few steps, and maybe we can go a little ways, and then that burden gets a little heavier, and that burden gets heavier, then something else gets put in, another situation, another trial, another care of somebody else, another care in your life, and before you know it, you cannot take one step further, you collapse on the ground in failure and say, woe is me. And as I can't go on, I'm overwhelmed. That's when we talk about being overwhelmed. That's exactly what happens when we get overwhelmed. We can't see a solution. We can't see way past our situation. We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is, I can't handle this. I can't take care of this. When, even before we get to that point, what's the instruction of Jesus? Those that are heavy laden, Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Is that what we do when we have burdens? Do we come unto the Lord, or say, well, I can handle this one? And then another burden comes along. Oh, I can handle this one too. I don't need to bother God with it. And I can handle this one. And I can handle this one. And I can handle this one. And I think what we do is many times we have this idea, well, I need some help, but I can handle some of it. The reality is we can't handle any of it. We need to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I know for sure that we all labor. And there are times that we are heavy laden, aren't we? There are times that we're heavy laden. What in the world is going to happen? And what does Jesus promise? I will give you rest. And in this passage, he offers help to those who are carrying burdens. It could be a burden of sin. We have sin in our life, habitual sin, besetting sin. We see sin as described in Hebrews as a weight. Let us lay it aside. Let us cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. It can be the burdens of physical conditions that we deal with. You know, we have physical conditions, physical defects, or even if we're young or we're older, those things can be burdensome to you, especially to your mind. What's going to happen to me? Because many times when we're in good health, we don't have that burden. But when our health begins to fail, or we face hard trials in our health, it can be a burden upon our heart. And then we have burdens of the heart. We have burdens in relationships, burdens for our spouse, burdens for our children, burdens in emotional things. We also have the burdens of persecution, of rejection of the Lord, and the burden of what we see going on. And we look at the world that we live in, and we see burden upon burden. You know, maybe tonight, say, oh, Pastor, I'm feeling the weight letting on me right now. I can feel it bearing down. Oh, I didn't want to think about all that. Now I'm thinking about all those things. Let's just stop for a moment. Need to cast all those things upon the Lord. Come on to me. Too many times we don't come to him soon enough, and we try and tough it out. And there's many different burdens that we can be weighed down with, and each of them are individual. One thing that might weigh down you might not weigh down somebody else, but it's real. Doesn't make it any less real. By the way, just when you talk to somebody, this is how you don't encourage them. You know, well, I'm burdened down with this. Well, that doesn't bother me. It shouldn't bother you. That doesn't encourage anybody. Well, I'm so glad you're a super Christian, right? Well, it burdens me. We have to understand that those realities, because also what burdens us might not burden them. The supreme example of love that is practically expressed in the bearing of another's burdens is in Galatians 6:2, and bear ye one another's burdens, and so what? So fulfill the law of Christ. It said, learn of me. So it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pause for a moment, and I will give you rest. What do we trust to give us rest and peace of mind? That when we have it under control, oh, I have rest and peace of mind. Oh, I can handle this. I am looking forward to tomorrow because I can handle tomorrow. Right? Don't we get rest and peace? Oh, it's going to be a day off. The burden of work isn't there. By the way, we look forward to those days off, don't we? We look forward to those times. Nothing wrong with that. God gives us rest for a reason. 6 days that we should work, and on the seventh we should what? Rest. God rested from all his labor. We ought to have that rest. But we look forward to that day when I have peace of mind, when I have the situation. Maybe I've been going through a burdensome time, and finally we're at the end. Maybe it's a responsibility that you must fulfill. And oh, can I tell you what? When on Sunday nights, after I've preached all day long, and trust me, there's a weight lifted off of me that, oh boy, I can get a good night's rest tonight. Because I did what the Lord wanted me to do. Nothing wrong with that. But too many times we wait for that relief in the midst of that other part of that burden. Jesus says, was standing over here and said, I want to give you rest. So I want to give you that rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do we see the needs around us as Jesus did? So many times we can be looking at our own needs. Mark 6:34 says that this about Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep having not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Many times we talk about burdens, we look at our own burdens, look at our own needs, look at our own problems, our own struggles. But is that how we're to view what's going on in our life? I'm not discounting the things that we're going through. I'm not discounting the trials that we face. However, when we begin to just focus on our trials and our burdens and our weights and our sins, then they become a whole lot bigger than they really are. They become a whole lot more burdensome. But instead, what does Jesus command us to do? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so even in the midst of our burden bearing, even in the midst of that, it's to take my yoke upon you. Now, it doesn't say I'm going to take the burden all the way away. What is he going to say? I'm going to switch out with you. You give me your burdens, and I'm going to put my yoke upon. I'm going to become a yoke fellow with you. I'm going to walk with you and you with me. And here it is. I'm going to take your burden so you can help bear somebody else's. Amen. And so I'm going to enable you to be able to go bear someone else's burdens. Too many times you talk to people, a lot of books are dedicated to this. I'm not saying that's wrong, but too many times we focus on our own problems. We spend too much time focusing on our own problems and our own issues. And isn't that a symptom of the society that we live in? It's all about my concerns, my needs, and what I'm going through instead of being caring about, well, what if someone else going through? What's going on with somebody else? I love the prayer letter from Brother Ingram, just weeping, his heart broken over the need of somebody else. Praise God for that. It's a tender heart. We need that. Because if we had to do that, then you're going to do something about it. Amen? It's not going to seem like a big deal to sacrifice the time. It's not going to seem like a big deal to do all that you need to do to help that person. But he's like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I just have so many problems. I have so many this. I don't think I can help that person. No, you can't. That's why you got to give your burdens to the Lord. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. So let's look at that. How can we help others, though? How can we help bear that burden? So number two tonight, helping indeed. Helping indeed. Things that we do. Things we can do with our hands, okay? Acts of kindness and help are very powerful expressions of God's love. We ought to do them. Amen. We ought to go be helpful to people. The Good Samaritan did not say one word to the beaten man, but his actions expressed the brotherly love that he had for him. He sacrificed his time. He took by. The others couldn't be bothered to spend time. He was beaten, left for dead on the side of the road. The Levi and the priest, the religious leaders of the day, the religious men whose job was to minister to the people, couldn't be bothered. They were busy on their way to their work. But the man who was a stranger, who was an outcast, who would not even be one, was considered unclean by a Jewish person. He was the one that said, you know what? I need to have compassion on him. I know what his kind call me. I know, by the way, this is a great idea to deal with the thing about racism today. Amen. Don't care what color somebody is. Amen. You don't care about that. We're all made in the image of God. Amen. And so that's what this man said. You know, it doesn't matter what the prejudices are. It doesn't matter what the society says or the culture says or anything like that. This person has a need. I'm going to help him. And that's exactly what he did. He sacrificed his time. He went aside. He had effort. He bound up his wounds. He put him upon his own donkey, and he took him to an inn. He sacrificed money for someone he did not even know because it didn't have hospitals back then. He put him up in this inn and said, hey, take care of him, feed him, change his bandages, nurse him back to health, and I'm going to give you this much money, and whatever the bill is, when I come back, I'm going to pay it in full. Man, wouldn't that be great if we were struggling, we were on the side of the road, but someone took us to the emergency room and paid our bill? Amen. You know, I went to the emergency room. You know, emergency room's expensive. I went to the emergency room this Sunday because my gum was bleeding really bad, went in there. And this is the healthcare system. By the way, healthcare system in America is broken because this is, I sat there for 2 hours and wasn't there very long. Had a doctor come look at my gum for 2 minutes. And say, well, we're not dentists. We can't help you, but we can give you this little absorbo bandage in case it starts bleeding again. So that's what we can do. Call the dentist. That little 2 minutes of encouragement and a bandage cost me $1,300. Yeah. And I was, should have stayed home because I was like, I'm going to stay home. My wife's like, well, maybe they can do something. They can help you or anything. Just should have called Anita. You know, that's what And he's like, oh, yeah, I got stuff for that. And he's got stuff for everything, you know. You should have a homeopathic doctor practice, Anita, you know. Oh, good, good. Oh, man, midwife, doctor, man, everything, one-stop shop, you know. But, you know, I was like, wow, man, imagine that happening. And then someone said, you know, I'm going to pay your bill. Praise God for that. Amen. That would be an encouragement. That would be an encouragement to me. So, and then they come to you, you know, do you want to pay cash or card? I said, where's your financial assistance application? Okay. because they say cash or card, like, hey, I just have $1,300 hanging around. I'm just going to pay it. You know, if I had that kind of money, I'd pay for insurance. Anyway, when someone needs This man, what was the difference? He had compassion. He saw a need, he had compassion on this person. Whenever you think of compassion, think on this, that has a sense of pity and a sense of care that caused action. When someone needs help, are we the first ones there? Or do we hope somebody else will do it? Oh, well, I hope someone else does it. Oh, the hope preacher doesn't ask me. You know, when something goes on, you know, are we too busy? Sometimes we're scared because, well, I might say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. No, you just need to help. Helping is not always comfortable because we do not always know what to do. Isn't that sometimes the case? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. Just being there sometimes is enough. Being there to help. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Just follow the leading of the Lord. He'll guide you. Just be available. Just be willing. If you're willing and available, God can use you to do great things. You don't have to know what you're doing. You know, so many times people say, Pastor, you know, I'm so glad you were here, and I'm so glad you knew what to say and everything. And I'm very quick to say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just glad the Lord led me to say something. I don't, in some situation, as a Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You do. I'm just here. I'm available. And praise God if God uses me. You know, we don't have to have it all figured out. Well, I have to be trained in everything and have, you know what? Some of the most helpful people are people that are just available. They don't know a whole lot about a lot of things, but they're just available, ready to help, and they care about people. Amen. Isn't that what the Lord did? He just cared about people and drew all men onto himself. Why? Because he cared. So what are some practical expressions of helping someone bear a burden? Well, there's physical help, you know, moving, repairs, things like that, things that you can help with in that regard. You know, maybe for someone who's a shut-in, fixing a faucet or something like that, doing what you can. Think, if you have a skill, use it for the Lord. Sometimes relieving pressure, especially if they have a medical problem, cooking meals, needed household supplies, food. We've done that for people many, many times. Just, hey, we're going to cook a couple meals for you. Hey, we're going to help you get to a doctor's appointment. Whatever it is, help people out that have needs. We can go on and on with that. But are we willing to go out on a limb for someone because God loves them? Are we willing to do that? Even at an inconvenient hour. Amen. Are we willing to do that at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning? You know, are we willing to do that to help somebody? Can I tell you what? Some of the times that I've been called upon to help somebody with something has not been at a convenient hour. Amen. It has not been at a convenient hour. It has not been at a convenient time. It has not been when I'm in a convenient mood. It has not been when I'm in a convenient physical condition. And it's usually when I'm tired, you know, you're just kind of resting a little bit, and then boom, a need pops up. And I know, and this is people's favorite phrase, Pastor, I'm sorry to bother you. It's okay. That's what I'm here for. Don't apologize for that. Amen. Amen. Some of you apologize a little too much. That's what I'm here for, to help. Okay? Don't be afraid to ask for help. And so, you know, Pastor, sorry to bother you, but, you know, hey, I need help with this. That's fine. That's what I'm here for. Amen. Let's be available. Let's not have the attitude of, well, people are afraid. I'm afraid to ask somebody for something because someone's just going to be irritated with me. No. Let's never have an irritated spirit helping somebody. Amen. Are we willing to go out on that limb? Not only helping in deed, number three, as we hurry along tonight, helping in word. Sometimes the burdens that we have in our life do not lie in the physical realm. Sometimes the burdens other people have don't lie in a physical realm. Many times they lie in emotional or the spiritual realm. Discouragements and hopelessness are very real and debilitating. Amen. We need to be there for people. You know, people that struggle with this, people that have physical conditions, they can't get out as much. They need some encouragement. And can I tell you what? Our senior saints, they need encouragement. Amen. They can feel very lonely. They can feel very alone, useless. Oh, they need to be told that that's so not the case. Amen. That they're loved, that they're cared about. Spend time with them. You know how you help an older person? Just sit down and listen to them. Amen. Amen. That's what you do. If you go down to the nursing home and talk to some people, you know what? They just feel thrown away sometimes by their families because they were never visited maybe once or twice a year. They live there day in, day out. They don't get out to do anything. Only time they get to go out and go anywhere is their doctor's appointment. And that's all they have. That's their whole life. And when we come in and we just sit down with them and show them love and care and compassion, man, that just makes their world, makes their day. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing just to give that word of encouragement? Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? What can we do to help someone in this condition? Well, we need to point them to Christ, first of all, for help. Amen. It's fine to encourage them, but the key to help is not to tell, well, you just think positive. Think positive thoughts. Know that you can be so deep in hopelessness and discouragement that you can't think positive thoughts. You can be down the hole so far that you can't see the light at the end. You're so far in there, you can't see it. You know what? The only one that can show them the light is the light of the Lord of God and Jesus Christ. Through prayer with that person as well as for that person. It's one thing to say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Keep them in prayer. They encourage that. But say, hey, let's pray right now. Let's take a few moments, and I'm going to pray for you right now. And you can tell that's powerful in people's lives. I'm going to pray with you right now. Pray for God's encouragement. And especially if they're really discouraged, really down, catch up with them. Get their phone number. Call them. Text them. Say, I'm praying for you. Call them up on the phone. How are you doing? Many times the Lord puts that prompt on your heart to text or to call. There's a reason. I can't tell you how many times I text someone, hey, text them a verse. Was thinking every day praying for you. As if you didn't know, but I really needed that at that moment. When God puts that upon your heart, do it. Romans 15:2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Amen. To building up. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. By the way, giving someone your perspective and opinion does not help, but giving them scriptures and building them up is an immense help. Giving them a testimony is, and by the way, one thing, don't go down this road. I know how you feel. You don't. You're not them. Because the way it made you feel may not be the way it made you feel. Amen? Don't go down that road. Guys, don't go down that road in your marriage. When your wife says, you don't know how I feel, and say, oh, I do. You don't. You're not a woman. You don't know how she feels. You don't. And she doesn't know how you feel either. Because men and women are different. In case you didn't know. Right? They're different. So be careful. Don't say, oh, I understand. Comparing circumstances. Oh, I was in a much worse circumstance than you were in. No one likes having their circumstance minimized. Amen? No one likes that. And that's not an encouragement. But say, the Lord's going to bring you through this. He's going to give you the strength to bring you through. As I said, I've been through a few circumstances too and trials of my life. Nothing like what you're going through, but God brought me through and he'll bring you through. That's an encouragement. To tell somebody, God's faithful. I just want to encourage you, God's faithful. He'll bring you through. Do we take time to do that with those around us? Perhaps people even in the church. What about people who are strangers to us? We are surrounded every day with people who have real burdens to bear, whether it be in the house of God, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be strangers, whether it be the cashier at H-E-B or Walmart. I know there's less and less of those because machines are taking their place, so impersonal. But do we share with them that greatest message ever told, the story of the gospel, the account of the gospel? So that brings number four. Do we have a burden to help other people bear their burdens? Do we have a burden? Hope you do. I hope that the burden that you have is the burden that Jesus has. I want to help people. I want to lift them up. I want to point them to salvation. Do we want to point them to the Savior? There are times that we have discouraging times in our life. Can I have a suggestion for you? If you're discouraged, preacher, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just not in any place or condition right now to help anybody. I need to just make sure I get myself out of where I'm at, and I'm the one that needs encouragement. You've encouraged me tonight in the message, but I'm the one that needs encouragement. Can I tell you something? What you can do to help get out of your discouragement is go help somebody else. Go and encourage somebody else. And a funny thing's going to happen. When you don't help others, when you do help others, when you're discouraged, you'll be amazed at how encouraged you will become. When we do that, when we go, when we bring the Word of God, because it reminds us of the same truths. And it gets us to stop looking at our own circumstances. The devil's great at getting us to look at my circumstance is terrible. Mine is worse than everybody else's. I have it worse off than everybody else. The devil loves to get us to look at ourselves. Do we have a deep desire to help others who are hurting and are beaten up on the side of life's highway, just like that Samaritan? You know what? We had to have that compassion. Well, because if we just wait around, when I'm ready, you know, when I'm excited for the Lord, when I'm not burdened, and when I'm feeling up on top of the world, and then I'm going to help people. Guess what? A lot of the time, we're not there. Let's be honest. We're not there a lot of the time. We are there sometimes. Praise God when we are. And we should help people at that place, but also many times, well, I'm not ready. I'm in the deep valley. I got to deal with myself. Because isn't that way our culture and our world thinks? Well, we got to take care of number one first. No, we just take care of the needs of others. God takes care of us. And you'd be surprised how many times those people that you went to encourage, how they'll encourage you. You know, you went to be a blessing to somebody and they were more of a blessing to you than you were to them, at least in your mind. Like, wow. That person, you know, this person's discouraged, you know, they're dying of cancer and, you know, they need some encouragement. I'm sure they're really burdened. You go and talk to them and yes, they have some burdens, but they just share the peace of God that they have and how God's bringing them through, how God's faithful and how much they love the Lord. And you're like, wow, man, that encouraged me. Man, I don't have any place to be discouraged or discouraged here. I don't have room for that. Praise God. God is just a wonderful God. Will we be moved with compassion like Jesus so often was and still is? He's moving with compassion on our behalf. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. Let's learn from him tonight. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We find that rest in him. Let's share that same rest with other people.